This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Some other local news today. We already know that women tend to do more childcare and household work. But the question is, how much does that cost the economy? Well, according to the Khazana Research Institute, more government investment in the childcare centre could, among other things, add about 0.4% to real GDP growth.
And of course, it will encourage more female participation in the workforce and add over 3,000 jobs annually. Now, a key finding of the report is also that more effort an individual spends on unpaid care work, the less they spend on their paid jobs, obviously, and the less income they make. And this is part of what drives a gender wage gap, as women typically do with the bulk of unpaid care work.
And of course, sometimes women drop out of the workforce altogether due to care work. And this is exactly what Sheryl Sandberg of Facebook fame suggested in her book, Lean In, and she's got this movement around the world. And it's true. I mean, they're precisely half of the workforce. And if they were to generate, if they were to be able to come back to the workforce because, you know, care were to be more institutionalized, then more power to the economy.
Yeah, I mean, recall recently a World Bank report found that Malaysian incomes could rise as much as 20% if women are given equal access to economic opportunities.
Indeed. So for more on this KRI report, we turn this morning to Alicia Jasmine, research associate and co-author of the report at Khazana Research Institute. Thank you for joining us this morning, Alicia. Now, the report did find that the more unpaid care work someone did, the less time they spend on market work, and therefore the less income they earn. So what are the implications of this, and do take us through what can be done.
Well, the implications of this is that because women just generally do more of the unpaid care work, it would mean that these effects would disproportionately be onto the women. It can cause more and more women to not participate in the labor force, leaving an even bigger gender gap in the labor market, and not just in participation but also in wages. There are things like flexible working arrangements, but this may not really help them because they're still left with care work to do at home, leading them to a double burden, maybe to an even greater extent. So what the government and private institutions can really think about is getting men to also take up these care responsibilities. And we really want to push for an equal distribution of care work. As an example of this, there are flexible working arrangements already set in the labour market, but this may not necessarily be just for women to take up, for them to do the care work at their own time, right? This sort of initiative can also be taken up by men so that they can partake in sharing the care work.
Yeah, Alicia, Friday we will see the Budget 2020 announcement. Based on the findings of your report, if you could advocate for some items in the budget, what are some low-hanging fruit you'd ask for?
Yeah, so we would ask for three things. So the first one is a conditional care allowance, which is essentially a subsidy given to parents who send their children to registered childcare centres. And the aim of this, you know, by making it more affordable, we aim to stimulate the growth of the care sector, as well as indirectly contributing to the national agenda of increasing women's labour force participation rate, because if you ease the burden for some of these women who care for their child at home, and if you make it more affordable for them to send their children at home, then we give them the option to participate in the labour market. Secondly, we would urge the government to really think about paid paternity leave, not only for public sector workers, but also private sector workers. And thirdly, we also urge the government to think about expending resources in introducing child-minding standards in these informal childcare settings.
And one thing the report suggested is, as a policy recommendation, is more paid parental leave, which of course many employers may resist. So how do you convince or incentivize them to do otherwise?
Right. Well, what employers need to acknowledge, first of all, is that care work is a necessity, and without it, other economic activities may not even function in the first place. So the situation in Malaysia is that there is no paid parental leave at the moment, only maternity leave of 2 months and paternity leave of 7 days for public sector workers. But this is lagging behind other neighboring countries such as Philippines and Singapore, who have currently 2 weeks of paid paternity. So, you know, if care work continues to get too burdensome for some, this can induce people to leave the workforce. Then when they do that, employers should really think about, you know, the cost of replacing these hires versus retaining them, because this may end up being more expensive for them if they decide to replace these hires.
Now, Alicia, another policy recommendation from the report is for the government to incentivize more of the informal sector to register or move into the formal sector. Now, why is this important, and what are the kind of challenges that we might see on this front?
Yeah, so to begin with, to emphasize the scale of the informal childcare sector, it's actually about 98% by our estimate. And the thing is about informal childcare sector is that the quality of it is not known, and it is usually of lower quality than the JKM registered ones. However, if we want all of them, all 98% of them, you know, to be fully formal, it is not realistic as well, because this would mean that they have to incur costs to comply with these standards. So what we propose is that we get them to register and introduce appropriate child minding standards that is not as restrictive as formal childcare centres that are currently in place now. For example, you know, those in residential area, that location has to be in the corner lot, for example. So things like that, we can be maybe a bit more lax. But at least, you know, parents, when they send their children in this informal setting, they know that their children are safe.
Well, thank you very much, Alicia. And that was Alicia Jasmine of Khazana Research Institute. And I think another important thing that the World Bank reporter last week also emphasized is the importance of elder care, because a lot of women also stay out of the workforce in order to take care of aging parents. But still looking ahead this morning to the Budget 2020 announcement this Friday. All week this week, we're going to be hearing from different organizations about their budget wish lists. And today we hear from the Women's Aid Organization. Now, first, WAO Executive Director Sumitra Viswanathan says she'd like to see more funds for social protection systems.
Now, the first thing, of course, is increasing the amount of public spending in social protection systems. We have a whole range, a whole matrix of very positive legislation, like, for instance, the Child Act, Sexual Offences Against Children Act, the Domestic Violence Act, and then soon to be put in place also, hopefully, legislation that will forward and promote gender equality and prevent sexual harassment. Now, what is so critically lacking is the government system that needs to be in place in order to make access to these rights for women and children possible and meaningful. And what that means is increased spending, increased focus on better capacitating Jabatan Kebajikan Masyarakat, better capacitating the police, better capacitating the one-stop crisis centers in hospitals, so that they can actually make the intention of that legislation, those pieces of legislation, a reality, and that women and children who are most in need of social protection services are able indeed to access it.
WAO also emphasized the link between affordable childcare and women's participation in the labor force.
We also need to see very strong, very strident measures that will address women's labor force participation in Malaysia. To increase women's participation in the workforce, we must improve the accessibility and affordability of childcare, and we must encourage equal sharing of family responsibilities. You know, the sad truth is that childcare is largely out of reach for so many parents, especially low-income parents. In 2017, according to the World Bank, only 6.9% of children between the ages of 0 to 4 were enrolled in childcare. And so much of that is simply because of the lack of access. Now, last year in 2019, there was an allocation of 10 million ringgit for 50 childcare centers in government buildings. Now, this was such a positive step. But moving forward, Budget 2020 needs to scale this up. We need to see allocations that will facilitate the provision of quality, standard-based childcare in the community for all parents, for all kids, regardless of whether the parents are currently engaged in working for the public, the private, or even the informal sector.
Finally, Sumitra also stresses the importance of spending resources to curb climate change.
And lastly, Women's Aid Organization is of the very strong view that Budget 2020 is the perfect opportunity for the government to demonstrate to Malaysia that they are indeed serious about addressing the issue of climate change. We are at a crisis point, and there's no debate about that. We know about mass species extinction. We know about all the ecological disasters around the world. We know about climate change. We know about the haze. And certainly we are so looking forward to seeing what the government intends to do about this. What measures do they plan to put in place? How do they intend to engage with the corporate sector, with communities, with individuals to ensure that we're all on the same page and we all are together ready and equipped to address this critical civilizational issue. It is so important. None of us has a get out of jail free card for this. It affects us all: women, children, men, the natural world. Something must be done, and we're really looking forward to seeing what the government has in plan.
And that was Sumitra Viswanathan, Executive Director of the Women's Aid Organisation, calling for more debate on climate change, but also discussing some of the ways that the government could make the environment more open to bringing women back to the workforce. Because as we've been discussing this morning also with KRI, that is an important source of economic drive, really, for our country.
Yeah, there's so many levels of it. There's the regulatory level, which I think WAO says is actually women are quite well protected, except that, you know, enforcement may not be there or accessibility may not be there. Then there's also in terms of companies, what companies can do to encourage women to come back to the workforce, you know, whether they allow flexi hours, they provide crash facilities, or they allow you to work from home. And then there's also the society, right? Whether we have the right kind of notions about gender, whether we continue to stereotype, that all has to change.
Yeah, lots of dimensions to this. Of course, one dimension is the fact that culturally speaking, Malaysians and Asians generally tend to have their points of view in terms of whether the female should participate or they should be at home instead. And this is something that you can't change overnight, as Dr. Mahathir has very quick to point out. The second thing I also want to point out is when you look at Europe in totality and you understand why Europe is the sick man that it is, it is sometimes you understand that sometimes the European general economy is where it is because it's not competitive as it's not as competitive as the Asian one, right? And there's a lot of worker protection in Europe. There's a lot of ways and means that the workers can be protected. And sometimes when there's an element of short-termism to the study, because if we go too far, then we scupper ourselves to the long term. And I don't think we've done enough study into that particular aspect.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.